You're listening to Sermoncast Media from Antioch Community Church in Wichita, Kansas. For more of our sermons, resources, or to support this ministry financially, see our website at antiochwichita.org.
We're going to start where we're going to end this morning. So I need three volunteers. One. Come on, Jacob. I need two more. Two. I don't want to have to volunteer. You don't have to sing. You don't have to, like, it's going to be really easy. You have to hold a cup. It's all you have to do. Come on, Jenny. She did the typical thing. Oh, I made eye contact. No! If you're in my youth group, you would know if you don't make eye contact, and that's when I call on you. Okay, I need you guys to line up. All of you facing the same direction. It doesn't matter which direction you're facing. Within like a carpet square piece of, yeah. So in all of you, so I need you all facing the same direction. Take that. Take that. Take that. So there's no way we make it through this life empty, right? There's no way we make it through this life without being filled with God and His Holy Spirit. And He is so good, He fills us, right? And so the Holy Spirit comes along and He fills us up, right? And the cool thing is He's given us each other in times when we're weak, when we can't do it ourselves, to turn around and help fill somebody else up. You can drink it when it gets to you. So I might be like partially full, you know, I've had an okay week. But it's been really rough. And so, you know, Jacob comes to Jenny and says, man, I'm just really struggling. Can you pray for me? Can you help me? And so she pours a little bit on into his cup and helps fill him up. And the cool thing is, this pitcher is going to go empty, but the Holy Spirit never does. Amen. He just keeps filling us back up. And my ability to live this life and to be who God's called me to be comes out of the overflow of that. And can I be honest, as a pastor even, I can stand here and be empty. I need you guys just as much as hopefully you need me, but we all need the Holy Spirit. We all have to fill each other up. And if I'm not spending time with the Lord, I'm never going to get full, right? If I'm not being obedient to the Lord, I'm never going to get full. I'm going to be continually empty and I'm going to work in my own strength. And that's just caca. Right? It's never going to accomplish anything. So I've got to spend time with the Lord. And I'll be honest. I'll be able to say, like, I'm sorry the times that I haven't. But good, again, God is good, right? And so but I can stand here and I can feel a little bit. And we can have fun and laugh on Sunday night. And then you turn around and you can go out to the next. And you can help fill her up a little bit. Drink, brother. Because cup never gets empty. That'll preach, right? But we get to do this life together. But there's two things there. We have to spend time with the Lord. And then we have to spend time with each other. Yeah. Right? And that's how we are able to overflow. We work out of the overflow. And then when I meet somebody random on the street, I'm not working on my own strength. I'm not tired. Somebody at work who I'm frustrated with, or somebody I know the Lord's called me to pray for in the Starbucks coffee shop, I'm overflowing out of that now.
Spilling on the floor.
Exactly, right? And so we overflow into one another. And so that's the end, and we're going to come back to that. But I want you to hang on to that. Because at the end, what I pray is, at the end of the service, we've worshiped, we've fellowshipped, we're going to hear the word, we're going to worship again. During that worship time, would you spill water on somebody? Would you overflow the Holy Spirit into somebody's life during that last worship song? Can I challenge you? Not a person in this room should be standing still at the end of the service. Whether you're being prayed for, because you know what? I was so empty, I was negative, and I'm finally getting back up a little bit, and I need more help. Or you're just flowing out of it, and you're walking over and you're praying for somebody. So can I challenge every one of you to go fill somebody's, overflow somebody's cup, overflow out of your cup at the end of the service? Can we respond to the word and respond to Him today, His goodness? So that's my challenge for us as when we get to the end of this. Cool? Awesome. Thank you, guys. You can drink your water if you want to. Absolutely.
It's only half full.
Should I overflow it? No, I probably shouldn't. Get right to the top. Want some more? No, okay. All right, you guys go sit down again. Thank you. Oh, that's good water. Good H2O. Exactly. I knew somebody would get it. All right. So here's a question for you this morning. Man, I'm like crying and snotting. All right. What does a duck have to do with discipleship? If you're in the youth group, hopefully you know the answer to this question, because we're talking about that this year, and that's kind of our theme. But what does a duck have to do with discipleship? Well, let's figure that out this morning. So go to that title slide, if you would. Yeah. So as you know, probably know, Pastor Rob and I got an opportunity to go to the Ukraine, right? And so we went there, and we had a really just a sweet, sweet time, and the Lord moving, and prayed with a lot of kids. And can anybody read that? Can you guess what it says? Dug, dug, goose, right? It's kachka, kachka, huska. I thought it was guska. It sounded like they were saying it, but I hit Google Play just hit play and listen to it. What is it saying? Huska. So I think it's huska. Either way, kachka, kachka, huska. Duck, duck, goose. And so it sounds so silly, but by the time I'm done, you're going to realize the same thing I did, how actually applicable it is to the life of being a disciple and discipling others. And so we got to spend time in the Ukraine. This was our team. And so the very front there, the guy taking the selfie, that's Steve. And Steve is from Northwest Arkansas, part of the Antioch there, and just an awesome dude. I'm praying that we get to go back to Ukraine with him again next summer. There's lots of Igors and Ivans, and there's lots of people with the same name in there. But just amazing people who were, every week during the summer, were pouring into hundreds of kids. And it was so, literally, they didn't need us. They wanted us there, which I loved, but we just watched them. We watched them play with kids. We watched them do games. We watched them go through these things. And like, there was one day, they were playing all these, they'd set up these stations, and they were all games. And they took, like, it was actual, like, real Ukrainian money. And each station had this money. And so the kids, they had a certain amount of time, they would run around, and they would play a game, and if they won the game, they'd get a little bit of money. And so it was so awesome just watching these kids, from like kindergarten up through teenagers. And it was just amazing because there was this real like joy, and there was no hardness, there was no pushback. They wanted to be there. They wanted to hear more about God. They wanted to know more about His Word. They laughed. It was just so sweet. But they're playing this game, and there's this table up front. I mean, it's similar, like we buy a lot of Dollar Tree stuff for our kids, to when they take memory verses and bring their Bibles, they get a punch card and they get these things. And these kids are running around and they're getting this money. And literally, again, we all know McCarr, but it brought me to tears to watch the sweetness of this. They were excited to run to this table and get a pencil bag, a bar of soap, a fake Barbie. I mean, there was all these little Dollar Tree toys, and they were loving it. And then there was little ones that couldn't win as much money, so they were sharing their money with the little ones. And this is the middle of the week, and so but it was just sweet. And so just there's all this life going on, and all this drama and Bible and worship, and these college kids just pouring their lives out to these kids. It was an amazing, amazing week to watch discipleship happen in that area. And so I got to hang out with kids a lot. And so go to the next slide. So this, we were able to, through Pastor Rob's, just the Spirit leading him, and through provision that you guys gave, we were able to buy this guitar. And this guy is one of the leaders at one of the camps. Been playing the guitar for a month. An amazing guy. But and really, actually, I would have known. He played the guitar so well. We bought the guitar thinking the Lord is wanting us to give it to one of the dudes, but we realized he already had a guitar, and so he didn't. we'd heard a story, and so we gave him his guitar, and like his birthday was either that day or the next, I mean, it was over the next day or two, gave him the guitar, and he says this, "God hears my prayers." We were able to just bless him with a guitar, right? And so it was just so simple. And so we were able to get just bless him through that again. So you guys that gave, thank you, because your giving helped. That's one of the areas. Plus, like ice cream and all these other things we're able to do to help bless the kids and bless the young adults and them are there. But that was a sweet, sweet moment. This was the last day we were there. This was our cookout. So it was just an amazing time. Next picture. If you ever doubted, right? And so... But again, it was cool just to watch Pastor Rob do his thing in the Ukraine, to go love on the leaders and to just be aware. But he's just watching, like, how can I bless somebody in this place? How can we take what God's given us and bless them? So he was doing that just like he normally does. And then me and Stephen, we got to hang out with these kids. And so, again, just simple stuff. Like we were on a mat in the middle of a dirt field talking about the Lord. And we were talking about, like, how can you hear God? How can you hear God's voice? And trying to teach them how to do that. And Pastor Rob, he, if you know him, he's not a kid guy. It's just not his gifting. He'll hang out with him, but it's not a gifting. But he says, "You guys ever play Duck, Duck, Goose?" They didn't know what Duck, Duck, Goose was. I'm like, "What? Really?" And so they taught them, him and Steve were in the group together that time, they taught them how to play Duck, Duck, Goose. Kachka, kachka, huska. And so it was really fun watching them. And, you know, they didn't always get it. Like, one kid would get out and he'd run the circle like four times. And they're like, sit down. And so, but it was teaching them something new they had never seen before. Some of it was by example, some of it was by telling, you know, and so, but if you think about discipleship, isn't that what discipleship is? Some of us by doing, some of us by telling, some of us by taking you along. And so it was just this pretty, beautiful thing of discipleship in a game. So when we came back here, youth was about to start, and I had this weird, like, thought for the year about ducks and about discipleship, and it honestly started with a funny video and then just led off there. I truly think the Spirit was working through this, but on a whim, I actually Googled duck discipleship. Wonder what's out there. You'd be surprised. But I'm going to show you this video that I found, and then we're going
to
keep
Welcome back to Zoom A Training. Welcome back to Zoom A Training. In this session, we'll learn how a brood of ducklings, just learning to waddle, can help us understand two of the most important principles of disciple making. Have you ever seen a group of ducklings out for a walk? No matter where you are in the world, it always looks the same. A mother duck leads, and her ducklings follow, one by one, all in a row. The mother duck leads, the little ducks follow. But if you look even closer, you'll see something else is happening too. Each little duckling is actually playing two roles at exactly the same time. Each little duckling is a follower because it's following the mother duck or another duckling that's walking right in front of it. And at exactly the same time, each little duckling is a leader because it's leading the duckling or ducklings that's walking right behind it. So is the duckling a follower or a leader? It's both. And that's why ducks out for a walk have everything to do with making disciples. God wants his family to grow far, and so he expects every follower to be a leader, every believer to be a sharer, and every disciple to be a disciple maker at exactly the same time. One of the traps we fall into as disciples and disciple makers is the false belief that we have to know everything, or even just a lot of things, before we share anything. But that's not how discipleship works. Disciples are like ducklings. To be a leader, they don't have to know everything. They just have to be one step ahead. God wants his family to grow in faithfulness, and so he expects every leader to be a follower, every sharer to be a believer, and every disciple maker to be a disciple at exactly the same time too. Another trap we fall into as disciples and disciple makers is the false belief that someone, somewhere, knows everything. And if we just find and follow them, then we're set. But that's not how discipleship works either. In God's kingdom, there's only one mother duck that all of us follow, and that's Jesus Christ. No missionary, no pastor, no seminary professor. Only Jesus deserves the full measure of our faith. The rest of us are in process. There will always be someone closer to Jesus that we can follow, and there will always be someone further away that we can lead. But no matter our position, our eyes and our hearts should always be fully fixed on Jesus. In the Bible, Paul, who wrote much of the New Testament and started many of the first churches, didn't just write, "Follow me." He wrote, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Paul knew what ducklings everywhere know and what every disciple should know, too. Every leader in God's kingdom has to be a follower, and all of us follow Jesus. In the Bible, Paul also wrote, "What you have heard from me, share with faithful men who will be able to teach others too." Paul knew what ducklings everywhere know and what every disciple should know too. Every follower in God's kingdom has to be a leader, and all of us should lead like Jesus, laying down our lives for others. If you want to see God's family grow far and grow in faithfulness, then think of disciple making like ducklings. Become a follower and a leader at exactly the same time.
So yeah, that's what I found. Yeah, and I was like, wow. You know, it's like something so really so simple and really youth groupy to start with. Went, oh, that's so good, right? And so we started, so in youth group, that's our duck discipleship is our thing for the year. And they can earn ducks and do things. And it's just, that's our, somebody has to follow, somebody has to lead. Right, and we just keep doing that, and so we are kicking off house churches, right? And so we just started, and house churches are like the spear, guys. They're the tip of the spear in the neighborhoods, and discipleship is the tip of that. So a lot of this is going to not be new, but don't shut down on me. Listen, and let's take this and let's do this in our house churches. Let's do this in our lives, because discipleship is the key. It is the last thing Jesus commanded. I mean, it had to have been important, right? If he knew he was about to die and that was one of the last things he said was this, it has to be important. And so it's got to be part of who we are, and it's got to be part of what we're doing. So go again. So why discipleship? Jesus commanded us to. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." There's so much in that verse. So much in that verse. But he commanded us to. And so we do it because he commanded us to. We do it because it helps us proclaim the name of Jesus to the world. And then so the fruit of discipleship is God gets glorified, lives get changed, and the culture gets changed. The kingdom of God is at hand, is what Jesus said. And we are to take that kingdom into the world and watch people's lives get changed. People get set free, brought from death to life through discipleship. And so here's the thing. And also, if we plant churches, we might get disciples. If we make disciples, we're going to be the church and have the church. I think we flip that sometimes, right? We flip it. Jesus didn't command us to plant churches. He commanded us to be the church, and the overflow out of discipleship is the church. So our focus is to make disciples, and then we'll be the church through that. And so that's why. It's why we do discipleship. And so let's kind of give it, if we can give a couple like definitions to discipleship to kind of hopefully again bring it home to us. So discipleship is an organic movement that comes from keeping our eyes on Jesus and leading others to do the same. It's not a checkbox. I have made it a checkbox too often in my life. Oh, it's Thursday night. We got to be at Panera Bread at 6 a.m. in the morning. Okay, I'll do it. Man, I get to do it. I get to go hang out with some dudes and have coffee in a shop and talk about Jesus and challenge one another and encourage one another. It's not a checkbox. It's organic. It's life. It's doing life together. It's family. It's not a checkbox. It's not a Bible study. It's part of it. And here's the thing. It's not just in this building. It's as we go in life, right? We do this organically as we go is what Scripture tells us to do. It's a work of God that starts with the Holy Spirit and then we get to follow through on it. When we start to, who am I going to disciple? Lord, what do you want me to do? Who do you mean to talk to? It starts with prayer. Holy Spirit, who do you want me to disciple? What do you want us to do this week? So the Holy Spirit is the one who guides us and leads us and empowers us to do that. There's a guy named Robbie Galati. He's wrote several books on discipleship. When I was a young follower, just getting started, young, I was 24. When I was new to the faith, I started reading some of his books. And I love his discipleship approach. It's simple, but this is how he describes it. It's intentionally equipping believers with the Word of God through accountable relationships, empowered by the Holy Spirit, in order to replicate faithful followers of Christ. So again, we want to get a good definition of what it is. Simply, we follow Jesus and we lead somebody else to do the same thing. Simply. So how do we become disciples? It's even more simple. We start to follow Jesus, right? We realize who he is, what he's done. We surrender our lives to him. That's the harder part. Right? That full surrender to who he is. But to become a disciple is easy. I just say yes. And he does the rest. And then we do this in family. And so there's a kind of a, some of the question like, well, what's the difference between evangelism and discipleship? And there's a little bit, but they really run together. So evangelism is telling people about Jesus, right? Going out and sharing the good news. But as I do, I'm discipling as I do that also. Right? And so I'm discipling, evangelism, it all works together. You know, discipleship gets a little deeper, but part of that discipleship process is challenging others to go do the same thing, to go tell others about Jesus. And so we're just going to kind of put them together for now and know they work with one another. But simply, how do I become one? I follow him. And so we know what it is, we know why we do it, and so how do we do it? So let's put feet to it. Let's put application to it. And so, again, go back to Robbie. He says that here's what we're doing as a disciple. Sorry, it's the people of God with the Spirit of God wielding the Word of God, doing the ministry of God for the glory of God. Whew. Let's say it again: the people of God with the Spirit of God. Wielding the Word of God, doing the ministry of God for the glory of God. Simple, right? It is because it's not us doing it. Again, we just say yes. We just keep saying yes. And so here's four areas we're going to look at today. And so four areas that are like talking about how do we make disciples. These are four essentials that really kind of have to be in there as we make disciples. You have the Word of God. Scripture is the curriculum by which God transforms our minds so we know what to believe, how to think, and what to teach and what we're obeying. Okay, cool. The people of God, disciples of Jesus in a church community focused on relationships that help people to disciple and make disciples. Okay, the mission of Jesus. Jesus' last words became our missional priority as we seek to love others and help them to become disciples and grow to be more and more like Jesus. The Spirit of God. The transformative power is God's Spirit who works through disciples and disciple-making so that we become more and more like Jesus. So those are the four areas we're going to kind of focus in on today and we're going to talk about. And so the Spirit of God, you're going to see it's kind of wrapped up in everything we do. And so we're going to not hit it on that one specifically because it's part of all of it. Because again, nothing of this happens without his Spirit. And so let's start with the Word of God. So the Word of God is awesome. I love it. I love to read it. I don't read as much as I should, but here's what I really love about it. when we get into God's word, it gets into us. Right? The scripture says it. Right? It says that it's alive, that it pierces bone and marrow, that it's for correction and teaching, and it changes people. The Word of God cannot be read and not be changed. And we get afraid sometimes, like that's especially as new believers, and we're talking about discipleship, like, I don't know enough. How can I teach somebody to read God's Word? I don't know very well myself. We just read it. That's really all we start with. We read it together and let the Holy Spirit do His work, because we're going to be changed when we read God's word, right? Because we can't not be. We can't not be. So when you're in your discipleship groups, just let the word of God do its work. We have tools like DBS. We have some simple things that we give you guys, and they're great things to use, but just get into it. Are you struggling in your own life? Like, I don't know where I'm standing. I don't know how my family's doing. I don't know where I am with Jesus. Well, just read His word. Spend time with Him. Start there. Let it get into you. Let it change you. Start there. The Word of God. There's a cool story that I heard, again, from Robbie Letty. I watched this conference on discipleship this week. And he told this story of a Gideon guy. They were going out and they were passing out Bibles. And they came to this drug guy. The guy was doing drugs. And he said, hey, here, you want a Bible? He said, look, man, you don't want to give that to me. He said, why not? I said, well, if you give it to me, I'm going to smoke it. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to give it to you anyway. And just do me a favor. Before you smoke it, read it. Okay. Ha! Right? And so he gives him the Bible. Comes back a week later, guy's changed. He's actually leading a Bible study. He's telling people, homeless people about God. And he's like, man, what happened? He said, well, I did what you told me to do. I smoked Matthew. I smoked Mark. I smoked Luke. But then John smoked me. He read every one of those before he smoked them. But when he got to John, his life changed. And I mean, it's silly, but man, isn't it true? Man, let God's word do His work. Because here's the only things that are eternal: God, His word, and the souls of men and women. Everything else is going to go away. Those three things will always be. And so that's the word of God. And again, it seems very overwhelming, but it's really not. People of God. Ooh. You guys. You're my family. I mean, my wife obviously sits in here and we're family, but you guys are my family too. We're a spiritual family. We need one another. We need to be family. A spiritual family is a group of people who love God, love people, make disciples, and meet together locally. We have to be those people. A group of people who love God, love people, filled with the Holy Spirit, make disciples, meet together locally, and keep Jesus at the center. Because Jesus is the King. So we are called and have the blessing of doing life together, right? We're called to do life together. And so if we go back, and let's go back to where the church started, right? In Acts, what were they challenged to do? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, the breaking of bread and prayers. Awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds. Start over. We'll start where we were. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, attending to the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day. how we love one another is how people are going to know Jesus. How we love one another is in Acts. There, we devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching, to the reading of his word, to fellowshipping to one another, to breaking bread, which is communion, it's also having a meal, to praying for and with one another. We focus on those things, the awe of God falls upon us. He adds to the to our midst. He does all the work. Spiritual family. We love one another. We're here for one another. And it's so cool. Like, I was sitting at the coffee shop. That's where I do most of my sermon planning. And just thinking through this body right here. I was literally, again, in tears, like, duh. I know. But I wasn't in tears when I started. I was just having some coffee, listening to some worship music. I was okay. But as I began to write, I just began to think through the people in this building. House church on Wednesday night, heard an awesome story. Brian and Adele are in our house church. And I asked him if I could share this before. So he's not like, what? Huh? But Brian and Adele, we don't know a lot about each other. Like, we've talked and we've seen, we were in house church for a little while, but now we're house church together. So we were just sharing stories. And Brian didn't share, he's a quiet guy, which I love. He didn't share a lot about himself, but we got to James. And James says, let me tell you about Brian. They grew up together. They went to high school together. And in 2010, if I remember right, he gave him a Bible somewhere in the area. Just gave him a Bible. James says, yeah, Brian plays a long game. Just loved him. Just was there with him. 2018, James came to Brian and got baptized. Like, he came, like, all this, all the work, all the prayer, all the love, all the things that had got, James had seen that. Came to know the Lord and got baptized. Because of that, Cecilia came to know who the Lord is. Just loved on him. Just was there for him. Didn't have to preach to him every day. Didn't have to, like, he was just there. And it started with a simple gesture in high school, too. But they knew each other, but it's just a simple gesture. And over time, James come to know who the Lord was because of that. And I'm going to tell you a few more stories as we go, but these are the things that begin to pop in my head. And I'm just, again, just thinking, Lord, you are so good. He is a relational God. You've got the Trinity, Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit. And we are created in his image, so we're created to be relational too, right? Don't get me wrong. There are times I need to be by myself. That's how I restore, right? I go and I sit and I watch TV or I spend time listening to music and I get filled. That's how I get filled up, because we're pouring out. But I need you. Told you standing here, but sometimes I'm running on empty because I've poured out too much, or I poured out and I haven't spent time with the Lord. So I need people to come around me and remind me and pray for me and hold me up and help fill my cup up. So, oh yeah, God, you are good. We need one another. And as we do this life together as the people of God, we are each gifted in certain ways. We're each gifted in, you know, it could be prophecy, it could be preaching, it could be hospitality, it could, whatever it is. But we're also moms and dads and single guys and single girls, and we're all in different areas of life. And God is calling me to walk with somebody that's going through those same things. So part of discipleship is, how do you manage your money? How do you read the God's word? How do you pray? How do you be a good dad? How do you be a good husband? And so we're doing that also. And so we need one another to learn how to do this, not in the world's way, but in God's way. And so we're all gifted in one way or another. We've all been through something, right? And I can use that as a testimony and as a way to help other people through the same thing. Hopefully, I won't make the same mistake that somebody else made. Chances are I learned better from my mistakes. But at least I'll remember, oh yeah, he went through that. And I'm going to go talk to him, right? And so as we share those things, then we have one another to walk through those. And that's part of discipleship, that role of each person in God's design of accountability and training, of being spiritual moms and dads, of walking with people. We need one another. So again, there's the Spirit of God all in this. I'll tell you, this is probably the first time I really ever experienced the Spirit of God was in Kentucky, in many ways. One was through a preacher who screamed and yelled so loud, his face turned so red, we were pretty sure his head was going to pop before he took a breath. Not kidding, right, Courtney? And so there's preaching and teaching in Kentucky. Let me just tell you that. This is teaching in Kentucky. This is not preaching. But learn so much about the Holy Spirit, about He speaks and He teaches and He does miracles and all these things are happening. And so, again, I learned how to be filled with the Spirit. We already are, but be aware of it. And so that's also part of, like, in our house churches in this area, like, we're going to sit and we're going to listen to God and we're going to respond. I watched at least three people this morning during worship. They heard the Lord say something and they went over and they prayed over somebody. And some of those people I know prior to being here had never done that. So that's also part of that discipleship process, teaching and little ploy for tonight. Come tonight. We're going to have a time of worship and prophetic and praying and creativity through worship tonight. But it's the boiler room opportunity is an amazing opportunity to in a more intimate setting to hear from the Lord and respond. And so please come tonight. There's not child care, but bring your kids. It's okay. There's going to be an area for them to color and do stuff too. You'd be amazed what God will do when you don't think the kids are watching, but they are. You'd be amazed what God can do in that. So please come tonight. So the Spirit is a huge part of that. And so then we've got this duck. We're back to the ducks. The example of Jesus, right? And so I love this picture. Most of the pictures are just one lead duck and then the ducks following, right? I love this because here's what I saw when I saw this. Jesus is the pretty one up front, right? He's leading. And then you've got the mama or the daddy or whatever following. But here's what's cool. What do you see about that little duck? The very little one in the very front. What's he doing? He's passing up the mama or daddy duck and leading and following Jesus himself. I was like, wow. I mean, that's always been my prayer for my kids, right? And for our kids and youth and upstairs and for you guys, that you guys will run past me and go after Jesus. Again, that's part of discipleship, because here's what's so cool. Loving Jesus is contagious, right? If you get around somebody who loves Jesus and like they're worshiping and they're chasing after him, you're like, yeah, right? I dance more in Waco because they're doing it, right? And my knees are usually okay that week. But I'm like, I love Jesus and they're passionate. And now I want to be passionate. And so when we disciple, our love for Jesus leads others. And our prayer is that, man, you guys will run past. Go into God's gifting. Go into whatever he's calling you to do. Go do that. Follow Jesus. But then take some with you, because there's some people, there's some other ducks that are still following him. We all follow Jesus, and then we all lead somebody. Every one of us in this room are called to do that. And it starts with our eyes on him. I'm going to show you a couple of videos talking about this, just leading by example. And these are two videos I want you guys to see of that happening. Excuse me, this first one is a little Elijah Russell and him doing a memory verse from one of our Sundays that his parents have been teaching, and we've been teaching upstairs, and he's doing it himself.
Luke 10:27. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind.
Yeah, right? Yeah, and so I had another one. And it's cool. That's the second one. She's got more. And so I was like, yeah. And that's not the only one. Like, Nicola sent me one, little Josh doing it too. And like, so I love to see these things. And that's happening because we're by repetition over and over again, showing what it means to know God's word. And that's happening upstairs. That's happening at home. And that's awesome. And that doesn't just happen in that age. It happens at all ages, right? All of us need that repetition. And so the other thing is, so Jesus, he taught as he went, right? They'd sit down, they'd talk, but they said, okay, follow me, let's go do this. And one of the things he talked about was he showed them foot washing, right? And so while we're in the Ukraine, that where it's hard to get water. For where we were on this day, they had to take a trailer and they went over down to the edge of town where this big water tank was and had to get water out of it. It wasn't the cleanest water, but it was water. And they brought this tank back. And so getting water is not easy. They can't just turn the tap on. But this leader thought this was important. Same guy.
Yes,
so the story, obviously, it was on foot washing, and he thought it was important for to take these kids and not just talk about it, but go do it. How much more impactful would that lesson be? Because Jesus was talking about serving, right? And not just talking, but doing. And so he took them and he showed them how to do it. And so that's discipleship. It's not just talking about it. It's taking those with us and doing it as we go. And I love those two examples. Talking about I'm just trying to share a few stories with you. You guys all know Aiden Dans, right? And so when I first came here, Aiden Dans was in middle school. And loved him to death, started discipling him. And again, so all these, any stories I tell you, obviously, these are just things God has taken me through and allowed me to be part of. He's done the work. Holy Spirit's moved through it. But again, it's us saying yes. And so said yes to disciple this dude. And, you know, he had some anger issues and all these things going on. But over the years, I just watched him change. And literally just tried to live life with him, tried to talk with him, bought him a cool little special pen that I think he still has today that was just nothing. But at some point, that love of Jesus hit that dude. And he changed, like in an instant. Most of that happened on a mission trip. And then watch where he is now. He's in Waco. He's getting D school. I mean, all these things, right? And that's just doing life, hanging out. And so sometimes, like, man, especially middle schoolers, I'm like, Lord, why? I think about Aiden. Okay. We can do this. We just live life, right? That dude loves Jesus. I mean, he's one of those dudes that has ran past me. And I love it. Missing, but I love it. So as disciples, I can't expect my disciple to have what I don't. I can be real, I can be honest, 100%, but I need to be passionate about prayer. I need to be passionate about Bible reading. I need to be passionate about loving people, passionate about loving Jesus, and then following Jesus' example, be passionate about the lost. He came to seek and save the lost. And there's some of those areas I do better than others. I just have to be honest with those that are here and around me and do that. And so another story from House Church, why we need each other, why we have to do life together. We've all been through different things, right? And so another one of our House Church one of our House Church members said that what she loves about Pastor Rob is realness. She's like, I feel like he knows me. I feel like he's been through what I've been through. And just him sharing his testimony, it allowed her to know, oh, I'm not alone in this. Somebody else has been through this exact same thing. So we got to share our testimony. Whether you think you have one or not, you have one. Whatever God's doing in your life is a testimony. But we need one another. We need to go through these things. And in Hebrews 3, 12 through 13, I'm going to read two different versions of this to kind of get the complete picture of what this verse says. Hebrews 3, 12 through 13. Be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. So we've got to be looking within. We've got to be assessing, where am I at with God? Am I letting things into my life? But then warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin hardened against God. So I'm checking my own life, and then we're checking each other for accountability and discipleship. But I love this version too. Search your hearts every day. Take care, my brothers and sisters. Make sure that none of you has evil or unbelief hiding within you, for it will lead you astray and make you unresponsive to the living God. This is the time to encourage or warn each other to never be stubborn or hardened for sin's deceitfulness. So we do what we want to encourage one another and challenge one another. Stay on the path. Stay on the path. Hey, you messed up. Ask for forgiveness. There's grace. All right, let's get back on the path. Again, the cool thing is, God doesn't care how many times I stray. He's there waiting for me to come back. But sometimes I need a kick in the pants to get back. Sometimes I just need a hug. Sometimes I need a kick in the pants. So that's Hebrews. So as disciples, as disciple makers, one of the things we're also called to do is to teach them to obey. So we got to be in God's word. We got to know what it is. We got to know what he's called us to obey. But keep it really simple. The old LGLP. Love God, love people. Wrap it up into something really simple. Love God, love those around me. Those are the big, if we obey those two things, Jesus says, the rest of the commandments will fall. But in discipleship, if I see something going on and see the kind of some strain of the Lord doing something, then we talk about it. We don't stray away from those things. We call them out in one another and we teach each other to obey. Because Jesus obeyed even to the point of death on a cross for us. So think about obeying like this. To breathe in, which we all have to do, and breathe out. That brings life, right? Because if I go, if I do that for too long, I'm going to pass out, right? Or maybe die. But breathing in and breathing out, right? So I've got to breathe. And so breathing is just as important as listening and hearing and obeying God's word. So when I breathe in, kingdom breathing is this. When I breathe in, I hear from God. So to hear from God, I listen, I pray, I read his word, I have prayer and conversation with him, I talk to other believers, I look at what God is doing in the world and around me. I'm looking at how other Christians are acting, what the suffering they maybe go through, and I'm aware of what's happening through the kingdom in this world. So I'm breathing in and I'm breathing out. Those little ones, we taught them to hear God's word by like, we're like, okay, when we say awake, everybody's going to wake up and run around. When we say sleep, you're going to go to sleep and you're going to ask God, God, what is it you want to say to me? Or, God, how much do you love me? And so it was a silly little game. But how do we teach each other to hear God's word, hear God's voice? And so we did that with the kids when we were playing around. So just asking God, what do you say about me? How much do you love me, God? God, reveal yourself more and more to me, Father. And so I'm always listening. So breathing in, I'm hearing for God, and breathing out is obeying. So as I breathe out, there may be something in my life I need to cut. There may be a thought in my life I need to change. Maybe something I need to let go of. An action I need to quit doing to align with Jesus and his will in our life. As I breathe out, I'm telling people about Jesus. My words and my actions are showing them who he is. Because again, if we're following Jesus' example, and if my goal as a disciple is to be more like Jesus every day. One, Jesus didn't do anything he didn't see the Father do. He didn't say anything he didn't hear the Father say. So he was spending time with the Father. And he would act on whatever the Father told him to do. He obeyed what he heard. And we have the Holy Spirit, right? So when we say, when we ask the Father what he wants us to do, when we ask him what he wants to say, what we need to cut, the Spirit talks to us. He shows us. And then we respond. So we learn to hear and we act. Breathe in, breathe out. What oxygen are you taking in your life? What are you breathing in on a day-to-day basis? Because what we breathe in is what's going to come out, right? So what are we breathing in and what am I breathing out? So let's go back to the geese. One more. Go to the next one for me. Should be a goose slide there somewhere. Flying goose. No flying V? Really? It's a pretty picture. Where'd it go? Oh, that's sad. It wasn't my PowerPoint. What happened to it? Okay. No, I won't do that. I was going to have you guys come be the geese. Honk. No. Okay. Okay. Picture this in your head. We have lots of geese around here, so this is easy. The geese fly, right? And so ducks do it too, but the geese fly in a V. And what I learned this week is that when they do that, the front one, he's flapping hard, right? Like he's working the hardest out of every one of them, just trying to lead. And then as it goes back, it gets easier and easier for the ones in the back to fly because they're getting the downdraft, right? And so they're working together. And what's cool is the guys in the back are going, honk, honk. Anybody want to honk at me? No? Okay. Honk. They're encouraging one another. Hey, you got this. Keep flapping, man. It's okay. We're going to make it. You got this. Keep flapping. It's okay. You got this. Then occasionally, though, the one in the front gets tired and he has to fall back and somebody else takes the lead. We need to be encouraging one another. Come on, you got this. Kelsey Russell this week heard of a need, took it on herself to make sure to help that family meet that need, reached out to other people, encouraged them, is doing dinners with them, is going to keep walking with them. We need to be aware. You got this. Come on, keep flapping. You got this. But we also need to be aware of the leader that's up front. Hey, I got this week. You don't have to do that this week. I got it. Maybe it's the husband to the wife. Hey, I got the kids this week. Go get your nails done. Go take a bubble bath. Whatever it is. But just be aware of the people in your life that are doing the things over and over again that maybe need a break. And reach out and say, hey, I got this week. Let me flap for you. Take a little break. So, discipleship, simple. Follow somebody. Follow Jesus. Follow somebody who's following Jesus. Lead somebody who's not. Do community well. Love one another. Be aware of what's going on. Encourage one another. Be poured into. Pour out. And then when we're out of this context and you're out there in your jobs or in the neighborhoods or whatever, overflow onto somebody else. That's outreach. Overflow onto somebody else. Share a water bottle. Take them to dinner. Love on them. Whatever it might be, but overflow onto them so they will know who Jesus is. Follow, lead, encourage, overflow. It's discipleship. Do life together. Cool?